I'm turning back to my Bible, to Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, and I'd like to give you an overview of this chapter. Here in this chapter, we are given an illustration of the church of God, the people of God, united, standing together as one to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ despite the many opposition, despite the many discouraging hindrances. And indeed, this chapter is of much help and encouragement to us here in this congregation. And we read here Nehemiah, and no doubt together with the rest of God's people, standing together in prayer, seeking the Lord's help in their adversity, seeking the Lord's help in their troubles. For verse 9 reads, Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. You notice here the first person plural. Nevertheless, we, not Nehemiah alone, but together with the rest of God's people. Notice also that these people had not only to build the wall of Jerusalem, but they are to watch or to set a watch against their enemies at the same time. And this is the case for us, the Christian. The Christian believers have a work for Christ in a spiritual sense. I hope that all of us in this congregation who love the Lord Jesus, you will be trying to do what you can to build up God's kingdom, which is to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as His witnesses. However, we as Christian believers, we need also to watch against our deadly enemy beside praying. The power of the evil one are mad against God's people if they can in any way injured or annoy us or hinder us, you may rest assured that they will do so. And that the evil one, together with his agents, will not rest, will not sleep, and they will try all that they can to hinder us and to discourage us in our pilgrim journey. They will leave no stone unturned if it can serve their purpose. Satan and his agents can, or rather aim, at our hearts every poison dart they have. And so therefore, we as God's people have not only to pray, but to set a watch. Nehemiah had been warned of the attack that was to be made on the city, as we read in verse 12 of chapter 4. So we, the believers, we also have been warned. We have been warned from the word of God. We have been warned in scripture, as our Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, Satan had desire to have you, that he may sieve you as wheat." Luke 22 verse 31. So Jesus in his word has also told us that there will be, or there is, a great and terrible evil power seeking our destruction. If Satan can do it, he will not only sieve us as wheat, but he will also cast us down, cast us into the fire that we may be destroyed. Brethren, I trust that you who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are not ignorant of Satan's devices, as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. you are not left in a fool's paradise to dream of security from trials, from affliction, and to fancy that you are past temptation. No, Satan will not rest, the evil one will not rest, and they will continue to attack, and we are to engage continuously in our pilgrim journey here, this spiritual warfare, till we meet our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the other side of the shore. My brethren, thanks be to God. As we read in this account of Nehemiah in chapter 4, we have a better leader than Nehemiah, this man of God. We have our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we have also the second person, or rather the third person of the triune Godhead. We have the Holy Spirit with us, who dwells with us, who dwells in us, and he shall abide with us. Although the adversaries of the Jews conspired together and came to fight against Jerusalem, just as Satan is doing to fight against the church, against God's people, to hinder the work of rebuilding the wall, which we read in verse 8, Nehemiah says this, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Our subject this morning is the Christians' two guards, or the Christians' two sentinels. The Lord Jesus' watchword to ask the Christian believers is watch and pray, or pray and watch. In the text, we are here shown two guards. First, prayer. We made our prayer unto our God. The second guard is watchfulness, or to watch. We set a watch. Third, we shall consider, in the last part of this sermon, we shall consider the two guards together. We pray and we set a watch. We must have both, brethren. We must have both if we would defeat the enemy of the gospel. Let us look into the first part. The first guard, prayer unto our God. We commence our study with the first guard, prayer unto our God. And speaking of this prayer, I would hold it up as a pattern for our prayers as we look at Nehemiah's prayer together with the brethren. It is a pattern for us in a similar condition. It was a serious and determined prayer. It is not just a mere prayer. Nehemiah's prayer meant business. It was a serious and determined prayer. Nehemiah was as practical as his prayer as he was in the setting of the watch. His prayer meant business. Now, the prayers of Nehemiah and the Jews were petitioned for divine protection. Very specific, very definite. They knew what they wanted and they asked for it definitely. Divine protection. So learn here, brethren, that there must be more definiteness in our prayer. Let us plead the promise of God. Believe it. Receive the blessing God is ready to give us and go about our business. Go about what God has discharged, or rather, God has placed upon us. The prayer of Nehemiah and his companion was serious and determined. Next, beside serious and determined, it was a prayer that overcame adversities. It was a prayer that overcame adversity. The text begins with a very long word. nevertheless. But if we separate the word, we get three words. Nevertheless. When certain things happen, we Christian believers will pray nevertheless. Which means, on the contrary, we will continue or we will cry to our God all the more. Nevertheless. The enemies, like Sanballat, snare at us, or rather sneer at us, despise us, ridicule us, but we pray nevertheless. All the more because of the enemies. Tobiah here in this text uttered a cutting jest, but we pray nevertheless. But all the more because of his mocking taunt. If men make a jest of your faith in Christ, pray nonetheless. If they even become cruel and violent to you, brethren, pray nonetheless. Brethren, under whatever circumstances, pray nevertheless. Not a word less, not a syllable less, not a desire less, and not any faith less. Whatever your difficulties, whatever it may be, in coming to the mercy seat, what difficulties do you have, brethren? What difficulties and challenges do you have that will obstruct you to come to the mercy seat? What hindrances lie in your way to come before the throne of grace? Let nothing obstruct your approach to the throne of grace. Turn all your stumbling stones into stepping stones, and God, the Holy Spirit, is able to help you to do that. And come with holy confidence, with boldness, and say, notwithstanding all opposition, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Nehemiah's prayer meant business and overcame adversities. Next, notice also, it was a prayer that came before anything else. Look at verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them, day and night. Prayer must always be the forehorse of the thief. Do whatever is wise, but not until you have prayed. I repeat, do whatever is wise and that you are able and ought to do, but not until you have prayed. Yes, please send for the doctors, send for the physicians, if you are sick, but first pray. Take the medicine, if you trust that it will do you good, but first pray. In all things, pray. Do not begin it until you have prayed. Begin, continue, and end everything with prayer. But especially, begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. Go nowhere where you cannot go after prayer. You know what I'm trying to say? Go nowhere where you cannot go after prayer. This often would be a good guide for the Christian in your choice of where you should go. So take note here that Nehemiah first prayed and then set a watch. One other point. It was also a prayer that was continued. It was also a prayer that was continued. Notice there, if I read the verse correctly, it says, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them now, day and night. So it meant as long as they watch, they pray. They did not pray their prayer and then lift off and go about their own business or go away. Having begun to pray, they continued praying. So long as there were any enemies about them, the prayer and the watching never departed. They continued still to cry unto their God in prayer, who keeps Israel as long as they set the watchmen of the night to warn them of the enemy. So as long as Christian believers continue their pilgrimage here, they must pray. Pray without ceasing, says the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. One more observation before we move on to the second head, which is Nehemiah's prayer was a prayer saturated with faith. Saturated with faith. Look at the verse again, verse 9. We made our prayer unto God known. We made our prayer unto our God. They had taken Jehovah to be their God, and they prayed to him as their God, not any other gods, for there is no other gods for them. There's only one true living God for them. They had the full assurance that though he was the God of the whole earth, yet he was specially their God, their Heavenly Father. And so they made their prayer unto God who had given himself to be their God and to make them his people. And they belong to him by covenant relationship. We made our prayer unto our God. Those two little words carry a vast weight of meaning. Our God. The door of prayer seems to turn on those two glorious hinges. Our God. If you and I are to be delivered from evil that is in this world, if we are to be kept safe and advancing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must have our first God. Mighty, believing prayer, such as Nehemiah and his companions presented unto God. May the Lord help us, for those of us who are his children, that we pray nevertheless. Second God. The setting of the watch. We set a watch. That is the second guard that the Christian must have. We set a watch. Nehemiah did not say, now, some of you fellows, go and watch, leaving the post of watchman open to anyone who chose to take it, but they set a watch. A certain number of men had to be on duty at a certain point, at a certain time, at a certain hour, and they are to remain at their post to watch for a certain length of time and be on guard against the adversary. We set a watch. And so for us too, Christian believers, and for us also in this congregation, brethren, we are to watch over our own souls. We are to watch over our fellow brethren, for we are our brethren's keeper, my brother's keeper. We are to watch over our hearts, our soul, against our enemies, and we must do so, and we must do it with a definite purpose. We must not say, I must try to be watchful. No, you must be watchful. And your watchfulness must be as distinct and definite and act as your prayer. We set a watch. When you go to bed at night, pray the Lord to guard you during the darkness in your sleep. In the morning, set a watch when you go to your school, your business, or go about in your grocery or whatever other business, or to any other place that you need to go. Set a watch when you go to the dinner table. Set the watch when you return home. Be watchful. Be watchful. How readily and easily we may be betrayed into evil and fall into temptation because we are not watchful. Learn here, brethren, that watching was a work done carefully. Not simply, watching was a work done carefully. It was planned. It was intentional. For Nehemiah said, we set a watch against them day and night because of them. Those last three words would be better rendered as over against them. Over against them. And that is, wherever there was an enemy, there Nehemiah set a watch. The idea is to set a watch wherever the enemy may come in, may infiltrate. If a Christian has a very hot temper, then set a watch there. Another Christian may be very snappy at home, critical, picking holes at other person's coat. Then set a watch there. One has a tendency to be proud, another to unbelieve. Then set a watch there. Wherever the foe is likely to come, we are to make our prayers unto our God and set a watch over against them. Next, notice that it was a work continued, just like the prayer, it was continued praying. And so here it is a work continued. Nehemiah says, we set a watch against them day and night. Is there a need to be watchful all night? All the time, you ask? Can we not just relax a little bit? Let our hairs down, so to speak. Of course, there is a need to watch all the time, all night. Why? Because our enemies, whoever the enemy may be, like Sanballat, they meant business too. They meant business too. As much as you are serious and determined in your prayer, they are also serious and determined in hindering you, in discouraging you, in destroying you. The Christians. They may have gone to sleep at other times, but as Sanballat did not give them that information, they had to set a watch day and night. You see, brethren and friends, the devil will not give you notice when he is going to tempt you. Will your enemy give you information and tell you, I'm coming to attack you? Do you see such thing when two nations come to war? The devil will not give you notice. He likes to take men, women, boys and girls by surprise. Therefore, set a watch day and night. And then fourthly, watching was a work awakened by knowledge. Watching was a work awakened by knowledge. They knew what? They knew that Sanballat would come if he could. So they set a watch. Therefore, brethren, the more you know the word of God, the more you know the deceitfulness of your own heart, the corruption that is still present in the Christian, then the more you will set a watch against it. The more you know of the temptations that are in the world through lust, the more you should set a watch. The more you know of your own weakness, the more you ought to set a watch. The older you are, the more you should watch, because our enemy has no regard or whether you are a young believer or an old believer or a mature believer. In the Old Testament or in the New, have you an instance of a young believer who went astray? Did you not read that in Scripture? The Bible tells us of many old, matured Christians who were tricked up by Satan when they were not watching. So you have a need to set the watch even when your hair turns grey, for you will not be out of gunshot of the devil until you have passed through the gate of pearl into the golden streets of the New Jerusalem. Remember that, brethren, as long as you are a pilgrim continuing your journey here, you will be within the crosshair of Satan, and he will come to you, especially when you are not watchful. You and I, dear friends and brethren, have a need to watch. Watch against the enemies of our faith in Christ. We have to guard with jealous care the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. When you find, as you do find now, professing Christians and professing Christian ministers denying every article of the faith, or putting another meaning on all the words of God, the Bible, then they must be understood to bear and preaching lies in the name of the Most High. It is time that somebody set a watch against all these false teachers. Those professed servants of Christ who enter into an unholy alliance with those who deny the faith will have to answer for it at the last great day. As for us, brethren, as for us in this congregation, brethren, when our Lord Jesus comes, let him find us watching as well as praying. However, to bring the lesson of watching closer to home, to ourselves, we must also set a watch against our own personal adversaries. There are Christians we know of who are living with unbelieving or unconverted family members. So set a watch there. Why? Because the unbelievers, the unbelieving members of your family, they are watching you. And if you conduct yourself in an unchristlike manner, be sure that they will pick hole at it and they will magnify it. Therefore, set a watch. Be more careful. Set a watch over your temper. Set a watch over your tongue. Set your watch over your action. Be patient. Be gentle. Be loving. May the Spirit of God work all this in those of us who are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is another set of enemies we have to face, much more dreadful than those enemies that are outside of us. The enemies within. The evil tendencies of our corrupt nature, of our corrupt heart, against which we must always set a watch. Dear friends and brethren, as you know from Scripture, there is no such thing as a perfect Christian on earth. There is no such thing that a Christian truly born again, regenerated of the Holy Spirit, that will not sin. He or she will continue to sin, but indeed, don't use that as an excuse. He or she will strive with the help of the Holy Spirit, sin less and less. But there is no such thing as a perfect, holy, righteous Christian while he or she continues in this sin-cursed world. He or she will only be made perfect when he or she meets the Lord Jesus Christ on the other side of heaven. But as I said, don't make that as an excuse. We have to set the watch. Dear friends, we are to pray and seek the Holy Spirit's enlightenment to see where our weak points are. If your weak point lies where you think you are strong, there you must set the watch, because you see, Satan is very subtle. You are proud, and he knows that you are proud. You think that you are strong in those areas? Set the watch. Wherever any weakness has appeared, and if you have, in the past of your Christian life or your Christian experience, you have grieved the Holy Spirit by anything wrong that you have learned from that experience, then set a double watch over that. Where you have tripped once, you may trip again. For you are the same man or the same woman with the same corruption, albeit that you have the Holy Spirit in you. Set a watch also, dear friends and brethren, whenever you feel quite secure, you are deceived. You are deceived when you feel quite secure. Whenever you feel certain that you cannot be tempted in a particular situation or direction, that proves that you are already as proud as Lucifer. Set a watch. Set a watch, brethren. Set a watch. Avoid every occasion of sin. If any course of conduct would lead you into sin, do not go into that direction. Immediately pray and plead for the Holy Spirit's help to keep you in the path of holiness and righteousness for Jesus' name's sake. With prayer, put on the whole armor of God and do not go without being prepared to fight the good fight of faith. Set a watch. Set a watch. Set a watch. Furthermore, watch. Watch for what? Watch for what God has to say to you in His Word. In your reading of the Bible, if the Holy Spirit applies a particular text to you very strongly, with special force, regard it as a hint from your Heavenly Father that there is a lesson in it for you. Brethren, whenever you see a fellow Christian or a professing Christian going astray from the way of holiness and going in the way of sin, do not talk about it. And thus, you will increase the harm. Instead of speaking of another person's fault, set a watch for yourself. Take that as a lesson for yourself as you watch that or see that fellow Christian falling. Tell yourself that you are prone to fall like him or her. So you set a watch and do not talk about it and criticize or condemn that brother or sister, but tell yourself that there is where he sleeps, there is where I may stumble if the grace of God does not keep me. Remember Jesus' words to the three disciples with him in Gethsemane, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that word from Jesus. What did Jesus say in Matthew 26:41? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Now, finally, I put the two guards together, praying unto God and set the watch. I conclude with this third heading, the two guards, praying unto God and set a watch. Brethren, neither of these two guards, prayer and watching, neither of these two guards is sufficient alone. Prayer alone will not avail. To pray and not to watch is presumptuous. You pretend to trust in God, and yet you are throwing yourself into danger. Just like the devil would have the Lord Jesus to do when Satan tempted Christ to cast himself down from the pinnacles of the temple. If you pray to be kept, then be watchful. Prayer without watchfulness is hypocrisy. A man prays to be kept from sin and then goes into temptation. His prayer is evidently a mere piece of mockery, for he does not carry it out in his practice. On the other hand, watching without praying is equally vain, futile. To say, I will keep myself right and never pray to God to keep me right, and to keep me in the straight and narrow way, is self-confidence, which must lead to evil. If you try to watch and do not pray, you will go to sleep, and there will be an end of your watching. It is only by praying and watching that you will be able to keep your guard. Beside praying, or rather beside watching, grows wearisome without prayer. And this is true. And I'm sure those of you who are Christians, you experience that. Watching grows wearisome without prayer, and we soon give it up unless we have an interlude of earnest prayer. And in fact, I would encourage and suggest that you seek your brethren to pray for you, together with you, and for you, so that you can give you rest and to help you to continue watching. Our key lesson today is pray and watch. One will help the other. Prayer will call out the watchman. Prayer will incite the watchman to keep his eyes open. Prayer will be the food to sustain him or her during the night. Prayer will be the fire to warm him or her. On the other hand, watching will help prayer, for watching proves prayer to be true. Watching excites prayer. For every enemy we see, we will move us to pray more earnestly. Moreover, watching is prayer. If there be true watching, the watching itself is prayer. The two blend the one into the other. Brethren, I trust that you will take some time during this week or afterwards, later in the afternoon, to reflect and to pray that the Lord will help you by His Holy Spirit to put this text into practice. We made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night. Is the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, your God? If not, I urge you to come to Him now as you hear Him calling out to you. He will indeed be your God to hear your prayer if you are a child of God. You can be assured of that. To those who turn to Him, the Lord Jesus says, you will be in no wise cast out. He will not cast you out. And so if Jesus Christ is not your God, you cannot pray like Nehemiah. You cannot pray like the companions of Nehemiah, because you are not a child of God. So therefore I plead with you, look and examine your own heart to see indeed the Lord Jesus Christ is truly your Savior and your God. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we ask for Thy mercy. And we pray that you will awaken us, those of us who are Christian believers, that you may awaken us from our spiritual slumber, that we may be watchful, that we may be prayerful, diligently seeking after thee, to watch and to pray and watch. So Father, help us, as you have instructed us in your word, to pray without ceasing, and to pray importune prayer. And so therefore help us not to give up, but that Lord we may in faith, earnestly, diligently seek after Thee in prayer, and to help us in this new week. Hear this our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.